the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site that covers the Arizona Cardinals, with my co-host, Seth Cox, from AvengeOfTheBirds.com, the Arizona Cardinals site from the SB Nation network of sites, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. This is episode 380, and as you already know, the Cardinals did not win against the Seattle Seahawks and now find themselves 3-6 and 0-4 in the division, and in kind of a rough situation. That's kind of what we're talking about, Seth. Goodness, is this, like, when we entered the season, we had high hopes, and we knew that they weren't going to be. What the heck? Honestly, what the heck? What the heck with this year?
Yeah, it's been interesting, man. I mean, this is a this has been a tough one for them, and they continue to fall short in situations where it just feels like they have shots and they just don't get them. And it's been interesting to kind of follow along, because you see them have chances, opportunities, and just miss. And if you're going to be a team that's, like we talked about last week, good, you have to hit those. An average team gets some of them, and a bad team is a team that keeps it close. I mean, their last couple of games have been within a score. They've had the chance to tie it up late. But miscues or the inability.
Cardinals beating stops. Cardinals is the sort of the mantra that we're hearing, is that it's Cardinals beating Cardinals. And that's, I mean, that's an oversimplification, but they do just keep making critical mistakes. They're a team that doesn't consistently execute, and you can't be successful in the NFL if you can't consistently execute.
Yeah, and that's...
comes down to that.
Yeah, and that's just the reality, man. They can't execute. You look at this last game, and there's a number of things. They come out, they score their first offensive touchdown of the season on their first drive, and you're like, okay, they're in the right... heading in the right position. They're playing well. They're, you know... And then they get to third down, and the center just snaps the ball 20 yards.
Oh my gosh!
Down the field, and then you're like, oh, that's right. They're not good,
right? And then they lose another starting offensive lineman. So Will Hernandez gets hurt, basically at the end of that first drive, and then he leaves. And so you've got a backup essentially. Now Cody Ford is. Not exactly a backup, but kind of a backup. Like he's a guy who is talented enough to start in the league. So they're fortunate to have him. But
he's also, I mean, he was also injured for 6 weeks,
right?
And he's really only been in the system about 3 weeks, maybe four. You know,
and then Billy Price, they're on their third center because, the you know, after Rodney Hudson got hurt, Sean Harlow didn't work out, so they brought in Billy Price. And Billy Price, yeah, he's been basically who Billy Price has been, disappointing. And Will Hernandez got hurt, so then you got a rookie because Max Garcia is hurt, and you've got rookie Lasita Smith playing, and so you've got your two tackles and three backups. Or backups, and two of the three are new to the team. And so it just, my goodness. It's just, it is frustrating to watch. They can't get out of their own way. And whether it's something mental or whether it's something else, it's been consistently, and honestly, this is consistently with like Arizona sports teams, that once expectations are heightened, they never meet them. Think 2015. No one expected what they did in 2015 to happen. But then when they did it, 2016 was talk of Super Bowl rings, not just going to the Super Bowl. They just couldn't ever get out of their own way. 2017 was kind of the same thing. We saw it. We've seen it a couple times with the Diamondbacks in Major League Baseball. They have a playoff run in 2007. They make the playoffs, surprisingly make the playoffs in 2007 and 2011. And then what happens the very next year? Okay, they make a few moves to try and elevate, and they fall short every single time. And so that's kind of what we're seeing this year, is that last year when they elevated expectations and then fell flat, they just can't get out of their own way, and it sucks. It's frustrating as heck to see. I mean, it's hard to win in the NFL. It is. It's not an easy thing to do. Football is, it's hard to stay healthy, and it's hard when your critical players are, when players you're counting on are not available or not playing at the level that you expected them to.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, you look at it, and you mentioned him, and I mean, let's be honest, Will Hernandez has been a rock solid player this year. He's not, his loss is not the reason that they lost this game, but it didn't help the situation. And you look at it, I mean, it's simple stuff, man. You like we said, you get the opening drive touchdown the first time all year. You're sitting at third and six, and you feel like you're in a decent spot to, third and six, and you're in a decent spot to get a first down, right? And you get a 14-yard bad snap. 14 yards. Oh, sorry, it was third and one.
Third one.
Sorry. Third and one, and a 14-yard loss on a bad snap. Like, that's not something even an average team does. And again, I'm not trying to, it's not Billy Price's fault. It's not Billy Price's fault. He hasn't been good. There's a reason he's been cut by three teams that desperately need offensive line help. He just hasn't been good. And so you're scraping the bottom of the barrel to find something that's just not there, you know? And so that happens, right? And so you get that. All right. And then the next series, you get the ball, right? And you're like, okay, let's see how this goes. And they come out and they get a first down. And then they're sitting at third and eight, and they get a false start by Cody Ford. And then they get a false start by Lasita Smith, who has replaced Will Hernandez. And
I will say that one, that false start, that was a Billy Price mistake.
Right.
Everyone on the line was moving, and Billy didn't snap the ball.
But even so, to your point, you can't have 10 yards and penalties on back-to-back plays.
Nope, you can't.
And so then all of a sudden, you're looking at it and you're going, okay, so it's third and 18. Well, there's not inside your own 15. There's not a lot of great plays to run on third and 18 inside your own 15. So you're just going to check down and punt. Then you get the ball back, and then all of a sudden it kind of starts to come undone. Right. And that's where, you know, things happen. You get a play on fourth and four because your kicker is back but not quite healthy, so you can't kick a 57-yard field goal that you normally would. Kyler Murray takes off, makes a great run, and the ball gets knocked out. It was a great play by Ryan Neal. You know, typically you get frustrated with Kyler when he's running like that because he's got the ball loose in his hand and holding it out, you know, and palming it. But this one, he actually had tucked. They just made a nice play. And so you go, okay, so there's, you know, so instead of it being 10 to 10 at worst, you know, it's 10 to 7. You get the ball to start the half. And you come out and you've got another penalty on Cody Ford. You know, and then you come out again and you take the lead, right? 13-10, something we talk, or 14-10. You get a great play by Zaven Collins, and all of a sudden you're like, oh wow, they're back in the game. And this is what we've talked about, man. Like when we've talked about the defense, and I'm with the people that say, well, you can't expect the defense to, you know, be out there every time and blah, blah, blah. All right. So that the half just started, you got a three and out, and then you got a interception return for a touchdown. They've literally played 2 minutes of football, four plays. They have negative 4 yards total, and you've scored a defensive touchdown. Guess what happens the next three series? You just get murdered, literally murdered, 6.5 minutes, 13 plays, 75 yards, touchdown. 6 minutes and 45 seconds, 81 yards, 13 plays, touchdown. And then five plays in just over a minute, 85 yards, touchdown. And so you look at it and you go, okay, yeah, the offense didn't do a lot of favors, but you came right back on defense after you changed the momentum and you gave up a 13-play, 6.5-minute drive for a touchdown. That's just not what even an average team does.
Yeah.
And that's just where it's at. Like, like we said, they do something in every game to shoot themselves in the foot or hurt themselves. Like we said, they come out, they score a touchdown for the first time all season on their first drive. And then you get the Billy Price mistake. You can't sustain that success. You know, you get a Zaven Collins makes a great read, makes an interception return for a touchdown. And then you come out immediately. So the offense had nothing to do with it at this point, because there was no reason that the offense would have been on the field, and you immediately give up a 6.5-minute, 13 play, 75 yard drive to then be down the rest of the game. You just took the lead at 14-10, and immediately the other team goes down and scores. Like, but not just like a big play. They salt away the third quarter and score and basically just reassert their physical dominance over you. And it's like, oh, well, then that's the game at that point, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it comes down to the offense isn't consistent enough, and the defense is beginning to, it's a dam that's been leaking. So statistically, they're now giving up the second most points in the league, and it's only 2.5 points fewer than the atrocious Detroit Lions defense. Everyone knows that everyone considers the Detroit Lions defense a joke this year, and the Cardinals are allowing 2.5 points fewer. They've given up 30 points or more in the last three. They've given up over 30 in the last three games. They've given up over 30 four times this season. And the warts are starting to show, because they were dominating against receivers. They were strong against the run, like at least individuals. But now in three of the last four games, they've allowed over 95 yards to a rusher. They've allowed over 100 to the last two rushers. They've allowed a receiver to have at least 95 receiving yards in three of the last four games. And it's three straight games, in fact. And so the things that they were doing well, they're not doing well anymore. And basically, it just hasn't been enough. So what was the issue in Seattle? Is we were going to talk about that. We'll go ahead and lead with that. What was the issue in Seattle? Stupid mistakes. You can't. And this offense had 1, 2, 3, 4 3 and outs. And in the second half, they had 2 3 and outs to start things off. It looked promising. The Seahawks only gave up 225 total yards to the Giants the previous week. The Cardinals picked up 83 yards in their first drive and finished with 262. They only had two drives after that for more than 14 yards. And now part of it is that Seattle, what the heck is Seattle's good? Well, their defense turned around, and the defense turned around this season thanks to the Cardinals. That was the game that started. And offensively, they're playing like Geno Smith is playing mistake-free. He's playing confidently. And now they have a big-time running back playing. Ken Walker has been fantastic. So Seattle, they're playing Pete Carroll football, and the Cardinals can't get out of their way. It essentially is what is the deal? What was the issue against Seattle? They couldn't get out of their own way, and Seattle is too disciplined.
Well, they are, and they're able to grind out things, and that's – you look at the Cardinals' two touchdown drives. Obviously, they had the interception return for a touchdown, but the Cardinals' two touchdown drives consisted of 8 minutes and 33 seconds. The three of the four touchdown drives for the Seahawks
were over 6 minutes.
Yeah, so total they were over 19 minutes. Yeah,
that was nearly 20 minutes of game time, those three drives.
And so that's the thing, is like you can say a lot about the offense and needing to stay on the field more, and I would agree with that take. But the other reality is that at some point the defense has to find a way to get a stop. And they go on these like lulls where two or three times a game they just give up these what feels like backbreaking drives, right?
Yes. Yeah, and that's in this case, it was those two, like 13 play 70 yards, 13 play 81 yards after they had taken the lead, and then it just it breaks them. Granted, like that happens, and they had been on the field, like the offense wasn't giving them life, which we know that the Cardinals are kind of a build off plays kind of they someone right, makes a play.
We've always talked about it. They're a front running team.
They are. So if you get a play on one side, it usually fuels something, but you need to keep fueling that to keep that going for them. And yeah, the defense, just as constructed, the defense is meant to be good enough when you have a team that's scoring points and is humming offensively. It's talented enough to get off the field. It's talented enough to make some plays here now and again. But if they have to do it over and over and over again, they will fail. They will methodically, whether it's talent, whether it's scheme, they will wear down, and they will give up long drives late in the game. And this is the Seattle game was like the Philly game when they needed to stack, you know, like in football, I like to stack days. They needed to stack plays. They weren't able to do it. And that's that's been the Cardinals all year. They haven't been able to stack good play or good drives. They're never able to stack possessions. The only time they've really stacked possessions was against the Saints when they had the two consecutive pick sixes.
Yeah. And that's just it. I mean, the only thing that they've done well, like you said, is creating singular big plays. And if they do that, it's just not enough, and they're going to have to be able to do more. And so, you know, it's unfortunate. And, you know, it brings up something that a lot of people want to talk about, and that's the offense, right? And I'm fine with talking about the offensive struggles and things of that nature. But it's really interesting to me that you can have a team like the Ravens, for instance, where their quarterback only threw for 133 yards. Yes, they had 188 yards rushing as a team, but like they were without literally their top three receivers. And they won. And I get it. The Saints are bad. The Cardinals beat the Saints. I get it. I do. But like you look at that, you've got a team that came up with four sacks. They came up with, big plays. They came up with an interception. They came up with getting into field goal range. And yeah, they have the greatest kicker of all time, so maybe that's a little different, but like they manufactured ways to do things, and they held down the New Orleans offense. And so your quarterback can be just average if your defense gives you a chance. And a lot of times that's what the problem becomes. And like we talked about, like, it's almost like both teams are so, or both sides of the ball are just like so stressed out that they can't get out of their own way. And like, as soon as one of them fails, it just is like this.
It snowballs.
The snowball effect where it just, they can't overcome it. And, you know, it's interesting to build an offense, or sorry, to build a defense that has to play from ahead, right? Like that's an interesting dynamic and way to play things. We also know that typically to have that type of offense or defense, you need great pass rushers,
which they don't have,
and they just don't have that. And so it's just an interesting dynamic, man. It's an interesting way that they've built the roster, and it's an interesting way that it continues to kind of play out over the last couple games, because we're seeing we're just seeing where those things are, how those things are playing out, and why there's so many issues.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk on the web. We're actually, so this is what's on tap coming up. We're going to talk about whether or not the Cardinals are done in terms of the division, in terms of the postseason. Is it time to really start changing things? The Fire Cliff talks have come back. More injuries, and then the Rams, the previewing the Rams game. That's coming up next, but we'll start with. So coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, are the Cardinals done? That's coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best of our Cardinals talk on the web. I guess it comes down to this. The Cardinals are now 3-6, 0-4 in the division. Is it time to, are we now at when we can declare time of death on the Cardinal season? It seems hopeless, right? Isn't that kind of, you have that feeling at that point?
Yeah.
It was a must win, and they didn't win.
Right, and it would be, I mean, it would be a minor miracle if they came back and ended up doing anything more this season. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're not going to finish, you know, 7-10 or 8-9, which is not good by any means, but again, average. But when you look at it, it's a situation where it's a negative year after three, you know, consecutive positive growth years. And so the question becomes, what do you value in that? Do you value, you know, three positive years before a negative year, or do you look at it and say, I knew this was coming, they were going to fall, they always fall off a cliff anyways, and so now it's just time to move on and break. And that's, you know, that's what the question has to become. I don't see a reason to just completely shake it all up. I just don't. Like, there's,
we'll talk about the cliff stuff, but like in terms of what we got for the rest of the season, do you think they've got, like, are they done, or do you think that between a potential turnaround, because it feels like, because honestly, as it's been all season, they're not terrible, but they're not good. It's they're almost good, and it's never good together.
No, and that's what the problem becomes, and that's, you know, that's what you're going to have to decide. And for me, I think that they are done in the sense of making the playoffs. Like, I think that the I think that the 49ers are too good. I think that Seattle has some of that 2021 Cardinals where they, I'm not going to say that they're just going to completely fade down the stretch, but where I don't buy them as like true contenders right now. And so all of that leads me to believe that they're done, because I, like you talked about last week, I just think it's too much to overcome for them to find a way to get into the wild card race, right?
It feels like that. So 3-6, I mean, we're only 9 games in. And so is there still hope? Yes. I don't think they're done, but there's just realistic, like the realist has to say it's a long shot at best. And
oh yeah. I mean, from a metric standpoint, they're not done, but yeah, it's going to take a whole lot of work.
Right. And the thing is that it's, and this is the part that's disappointing, is that while even if they turn things around, so they're now 3-6, if they won out, so we're talking 8 straight wins from here on the way out at 11-6. Okay. That probably gets them in. And so it would either take the greatest comeback, or two, it requires a precipitous decline by teams ahead of them to do that. For example, division-wise, just thinking division, they are 4 games behind. They're 4 games behind the Seahawks right now. They're 3 games behind in terms of wins and losses, but 4 games because the Seahawks now have the season sweep. That's a problem. So you have to have the Seahawks fall apart, and the Cardinals have to turn things on. And the same thing happens because you've got the NFC East, which you got the Eagles and the Cowboys and the Giants all winning games. Then you're adding in a Minnesota team that's well on its way to winning the division. The Packers could turn things around. The NFC South is kind of a mess, but it feels like if the NFC East keeps playing Wiz, you've got one wild card spot left. And so, and you're in last place. You've got to leapfrog 2 teams in your own division when you haven't won a division game. And so, okay, optimist time. Yes, they're not done. And you absolutely can't have the players thinking that they're done, because that chance will continue to potentially motivate them. But the reality is that unless teams ahead of them fall apart, because even like teams ahead of them playing 500 ball, it would require the Cardinals to suddenly not lose again, basically. And unless that happens, so you're no longer in control of your own destiny. And that's one of the worst situations to be in as a team, is that you want to control your destiny. And if you don't, it doesn't matter what you do. So no matter if you are perfect, then you have no room for error, because you not only can't have to be perfect, you need other people to fail. And so are they done? I think the division, you can almost say is a lock that you're done there.
Well, and to your point though, yeah, they're not eliminated from anything mathematically. The issue becomes is that they've put themselves in a place where, as you said, they don't control any of their own destiny. Even if they were to win out, which is far-fetched.
Right. But, 11-6, they'd be in the playoffs if they were in 11-6, right?
You would think, but they would, I mean, and yes, the NFC East still has to kind of play each other. And so, sure. But it feels like it would still be a long road even at 11-6, because they're so far in a hole right now.
And it's
so
true.
That's where the issue comes in more than anything else, is that they created this initial hole that they're in, and now they have to figure out a way to get over it.
Right. Coming next on the Rise Up Seared podcast, Spencer Cardinals Talk on the Web. Let's talk about the talk about, should we start talking about Cliff Watch, Hot Seat? It's coming next on Rise Up Seared. We're back on the Rise Up Seared podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web. Fire Cliff Kingsbury. Are we at that point? Cliff Kingsbury very much on the hot seat in terms of betting odds, in terms of fan perspective. They're 3-6. It doesn't feel like they're going anywhere. And for how the season ended last year, for how things went behind closed doors, reportedly in the offseason, even though they got their five-year extensions, could the Cardinals fire? Could Steve Kime or this supposed forward? Should and could Cliff Kingsbury get fired after this season? I don't think anything will happen unless, I mean, they still have the bye 3 weeks of. What if they don't win again? Would they consider firing Cliff before the during the bye week? And if not then, should he be fired after the season if things keep going the way they've gone?
You know, it's tough to say that, and I really don't think that firing Cliff solves the issues. And there's a couple things of that. One, if you fire Cliff in before he even reaches that 5-year extension period, right? It tells other coaches like, hey, success here isn't growing a team over 3 years and then having an off year. Success here is like you either win or you're done. And if you were the Steelers or the maybe even like the Cowboys, maybe Packers, you can do that, but you're the Arizona Cardinals. Like your sustained success has been back-to-back winning seasons under Ken Wisenhunt and 3 winning seasons under Bruce Arians, with only 1 playoff victory in those 3 winning seasons. And by the way, the 3 winning seasons and 1 playoff victory led to what we have now. And so that's what the issue becomes. Is this a situation where you can just make that move and feel comfortable with it? I talked to people the other day about this. Like I said, like fire Cliff, I don't care. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. Like I don't think he's as bad as some people put out there. I think he has his issues. I think the team has a lot of issues as well. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you have to decide. But the other thing is that you've got a guy in Steve Kime who, if you fire Cliff, you have to fire Steve Kime.
Right? Unmistakably. There's no way you can keep Kime. I mean, he hired Wilkes, who was a failed candidate, and then he hired Cliff, which means having to fire him would mean a second failed coach. Why would you get another chance? And those are, especially with Cliff, with both of those head coaches, those are teams that failed under those head coaches with rosters that Kime himself built. So absolutely, there is no way if you fire you have to fire Kime. If you fire in Cliff, and then, oh boy, then you've got to find that, because, you know, is Sean Payton coming to Arizona? One, you've got a little bit of issue. You've got a tricky thing with the Saints and his contract, because technically he was signed through 2024.
Right. So now you got to trade for him.
So you've got to compensate Payton, and you got to compensate the Saints for whatever that comes to. And
while you're paying off Cliff for 5 years.
Oh yes, and that's a lot. My thing is that unless there is a drastic turnaround, even if they don't make the playoffs, if they turn around and finish strong, you at least go, okay, all right. You see, rather than starting hot and falling apart, you fell apart and then got it back together. At least there'd be a little bit of confidence from the fans and the coaching staff. But say they even go 500 the rest of the way. That's still only a 7-10 season. That's not exactly turning things around. I don't think that that's going to be good enough for fans to be satisfied to see Cliff come back another year. Now, I'm of the opinion that, well, you only have – the Cardinals are in a no-win situation in this. The organization is going to look terrible either way, because – if you're the owner and you give your GM and your coach a 5-year extension, you have to say, I trust you, because that deal is what did that. That deal is saying, I trust you with this team. So even if you have a bad year, after a bad half of year, And we can, there are definitely things we can look at that contribute to that. Their best players being injured and suspended, players that they're counting on, offensive line, this, that, you know, a transition type year where you let Chandler Jones go. You didn't bring back a top pass rusher. There's a lot of things you can look at. But again, there's no way they look good in that scenario, because either you give him the confidence and you say, no, I trust him. Michael Bidwill and the organization says, no, he's coming back next year. We trust him. That's why we gave them a 5-year extension. We wanted to be better this year. We expected better this year, but it just didn't work out. We still believe in him, and we believe that they will take us to the heights that we want. If they do that, there's not going to be Cardinals fans happy. That will make the fan base very upset. They will be. There's no way around it. But on the other side, the other way I have it, then it makes the organization look like a joke, because a coach that you had concerns with, a coach GM, you know, entering this offseason, obviously there were concerns. That's why there was swearing and yelling, and you know what happened behind those closed doors, everyone, what was reported. There were concerns. And you still gave them a 5-year extension and then fired him a year later. That doesn't look good. It's a bad message to send to the rest. So if I think this team is going to be good and you have a bad year, you're gone. It just makes the organization look bad either way, either from the fans or from everyone else. And then the point you make, okay, fire them both. What's the plan? What's the plan for that?
And that was the thing that people forget about, right? So you had no plan in place. I can't speak. We can hypothesize on another podcast. Maybe if and when this goes down, we can have this conversation about why the Cardinals went away from the Bruce Arians tree. We don't know. There's theories that we can run, but we honestly do not know. And so you got Steve Wilks, obviously a failed candidate or a failed coach. They fired after one season. Now you have to remember, after you fired Wilks, you came into the 2019 offseason. You fired him immediately after the last game of the season. So you were one of the first teams in line. You had just drafted Josh Rosen in the top 10. Still, you know, at that time, could be thought of as an asset. You had the number one pick in the draft, with the draft that had a generational pass rusher in Nick Bosa, who's lived up to the hype in San Francisco. So there was, you know, that was a home run pick if you made it. And you had multiple people.
Mike McCarthy said, nope, I don't need an interview. You mentioned Eric Bieniemy, a guy who everyone's upset he doesn't get head coaching interviews. And he says, no, I'll stay here.
And so that's the thing. So you have multiple guys that just turn you down for interviews with those two pieces in place. This is pre Kyler Murray. Remember this. So those two pieces in place, and that doesn't attract anybody. So my question becomes, is there a coach that is, one, a hot candidate, you know, a Brian Daboll level candidate? Obviously, you're not going to get Daboll, but a Brian Daboll level candidate that wants to come and work with Kyler? Because there's a big difference between Brian Daboll going, I'll go work with Daniel Jones for a year, knowing that if it works out, they can re-sign Daniel Jones. And if it doesn't work out, that's an excuse of a season, and he can move on from Daniel Jones and, you know, go find his own guy. So what does that look like? Who are the candidates that want that? You mentioned Sean Payton. Sean Payton would be a great fit. He's worked with a quarterback, you know, in Murray's size class that, and obviously helped him become a Hall of Fame player. Is Sean Payton wanting to be the guy? Like, is he wanting complete control and the keys of the kingdom? So that means,
again, who's the GM?
Right. You have to let go of Steve Keim. So who becomes the GM? So all of these things come into play, and that's what you have to look at. And it's just, these are all questions that have to get asked that I don't know who has an answer to.
Coming up next on the Rise Ups here at Podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk about the injury situation as they keep dealing with more and more. That's coming up next on Rise Ups Here. We're back on the Rise Ups Here at Podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. More injuries. Rodney Hudson won't be back this week. Will Hernandez, who exited with a pec injury, they hope he doesn't have a season-ending injury. He's out at least this week. And now's the kicker. But no, not the actual kicker, but the kicker of the situation. Buda Baker, who apparently played the game on Sunday with an ankle sprain, now has a high ankle sprain and will miss 2 to 3 weeks. How are they going to deal with this? Can they weather these next few games? It's probably, so they got 3 games before the bye. So they got the Rams this weekend, then they got the Monday night game in Mexico against the 49ers, and they have a home against the Chargers. Then they go on their bye. Those 3 games. One, can the Cardinals, can they weather this next couple of days with a makeshift offensive line on the offensive interior? And how are they going to deal with no Buda?
Yeah, it's tough, man. How do you replace maybe the heart and soul of your defense? I mean, a guy that is literally who you rely on in almost every situation, and who's been a guy that you can rely on from a health standpoint. It's tough, man. And, you know, when you look at it, I think that they'd like to make as little changes as possible. So, you know, maybe you're using Isaiah Simmons in a slightly different way, and then bringing in, you know, a Antonio Hamilton or a Trayvon Mullen. Maybe you're just bringing in Chris Banjo and you're not changing anything else, right? So you're just saying, hey, this is what we've been doing. We're going to continue to do it.
Yeah. And what do you think, which way do you think they're going to go? Because if they bring in Banjo, that keeps Isaiah in the role he's playing in. He's playing well. He's making plays. You put Boot out there, then you've got to kind of change what you're doing in that set. Do you think we'll see, obviously Isaiah is going to see more. We're going to see more Isaiah, I think. But do you think, given between the two, do we think we're going to see more Chris Banjo, or are we going to see more Antonio Hamilton or Trayvon Mullen?
I think, oh man, I would think we're going to see more Hamilton. He had played well before. I don't think there's an issue with giving him the chance to earn or continue to earn that playing time. It's such a tough decision to see, man, because how do you replace a guy like that? Like, it's obviously not the level of Kyler Murray, but I feel like it's close to like the level of
a Buddha's, like the Rams have this rule. Find Buddha, block Buddha, wherever he is. They always make sure that there's a body on Buddha offensively to take care of him. He is now that guy, the one you have to account for on the defense, because he can do so many different things. Now, if they play Isaiah at safety, wouldn't that be kind of fun to see what he does, considering his size and speed? And his, because he welcomes the violence. That's the one thing. That's another thing about Isaiah that I really like. That's different than some defensive back, secondary players, safeties, defensive backs, is that while he was a defensive back in college, he's got the body of a linebacker and welcomes the violence. He wants to hit people. And it's to their detriment sometimes, because when he hits somebody, it looks worse than it is. But could you imagine, like, I don't know if you could use him exactly in the same role as you do with Buddha, but we've loved how he's played this year. What if he looks great at safety?
Yeah, and it just makes things a little easier. I mean, you just end up having to utilize him in maybe a little bit different of a way. But, you know, you want to at least see him continue to have success and continue to be a playmaker and see what you get from him. And, you know, it would be fun, to your point, to be able to see that. And it's just, hopefully it's something that we see no matter where they play him at. And it's just something that we're able to enjoy, because his success would be, you know, huge for the Cardinals in general, just because, as we've talked about, you know, with whether it's Keim or Cliff or whatever, there's just been too many issues, right? And where they haven't gotten out of somebody what they wanted or expected. And so if you can get that from, even if it's in the face of, you know, in the face of Buddha, who's great, you go, well, you know, it kind of sucked that it had to come over Buddha, but at the same time, hey, at least he's good, right?
Right, right. Now on the offensive line, what should the Cardinals do? You've got it right guard. Do you go with Max Garcia, who's coming back from a shoulder injury, or you do ride with Lasita Smith, the rookie, who played last week and wasn't bad? And at center, Hudson's still out, Billy Price. So in five games without Rodney Hudson, Sean Harlow looked good against in one game, looked bad in another. Then Billy Price took over, looked good in one game, been terrible in the other two. Is there a solution at center? And which guy would you prefer to see them play at right guard?
Man, I mean, if it was anybody but Aaron Donald, I would like to see them play Lasita Smith, but I just feel like you can't do that to a six round rookie. Man, that's such a tough ask of him. You know, the other problem is Harlow, while he snaps the ball better, and let's be honest, in the scheme of things, that's the first thing you need from your center, right? Doing snapping the ball well. He's just so overwhelmed so often in the run game. So I think the best combination right now is to go with Billy Price at center and Max Garcia at right guard, and just kind of
and hope trudge. At least the snapping issues,
yeah, don't come back up, but and just kind of trudge through this week. I mean, I know it's not what people want to hear, but I don't really I don't know if you can go undersized center and
rookie guard.
And I just don't know if you want to go undersized center and Garcia all at once either.
With that, coming up next on the Rise Up C-Rib podcast, Mr. Cardinals talking. Well, let's talk about that matchup against the LA Rams, preview that game. That's coming up next on Rise Up C-Rib. We're back on the Rise Up C-Rib podcast, Mr. Cardinals talk on the web, talking about the preview. The Cardinals play the Rams this week, two teams that are not playing well. The Rams they're struggling on their offensive line. Cooper Kupp is their offense. I mean, look at it. They had 200 some odd yards last week against the Bucks, and 127 yards of them came to Cooper Kupp. The Cardinals held Cooper Kupp in check the last time they played. What's going on with this Rams team? We know what's going on with the Cardinals. They're a mess. Lots of things are the problem. But the Rams, as good as they were last year, are struggling this year.
Yeah, and, you know, it goes back to what we talked about with, you know, even Tampa Bay, right? That sometimes these teams, they just have bad luck. You know, you look at the situation in L.A. We know that there's been an issue with Matt Stafford's arm, his elbow at least, and that he's struggling to throw the ball. So their inability to throw the ball, or his inability to throw the ball consistently, has now played into their inability to run the ball, because teams don't respect their passing game, right? And so you have that. Then you look at the fact that outside of how fantastic Cooper Kupp is, they basically have like you and me as their next receivers, man. Yeah. Allen Robinson has under 250 yards on the season. Ben Skowronek, even though he made the Cardinals look bad, has under 250 yards on the season. The next leading receiver is 312 yards, and that's Tyler Higbee, who's averaging less than 9 yards per reception. And I know he's a tight end, but it's still not great.
It's not great playmaking.
No.
And the running, like they've been relying on a dude that the Cardinals cut as their back of the back of undrafted rookies and Ronnie Rivers. Their right. offensive line is struggling. Like, granted, they lost Brian Noteboom, Joe Noteboom, that is, and we
Brian
knew
Allen's, Brian yeah. Allen's been dealing who you were also talking about has been dealing with health issues, and so it's just been a bad season. I mean, I guess that's the best way to put it. And it coincides with what we're talking about with the Cardinals. Like, sometimes decent teams or good teams have bad seasons. Now, the difference is the Rams are coming off winning a Super Bowl and the Cardinals are coming off an embarrassing playoff loss. So that just makes things, you know,
yeah,
a little more difficult pill to swallow wise. You know, it's been really bad. You look at it since the Rams beat the Cardinals, they're 1-4 and their one win is over the Carolina Panthers. That was Steve Wilkes' first game. So that's what I thought. Sorry, I got distracted for a second. And in those games, man, I mean, you look at it. So they beat the Cardinals by 8. Remember, we go back. The Cardinals,
yeah, 2012, I mean, they were methodically and just took anything away, and the Cardinals couldn't finish drives because their defense was just super disciplined and just like, okay, we'll let you dink and dunk, and you're going to mess up. And they would mess up in the red zone.
And then you look at it the next 5 games. They lose 24-9 to the 49ers, 22-10 to the Cowboys. Like I said, they beat the Steve Wilkes led Carolina Panthers. Then they lose 31-14 to San Francisco before they choke away a game against Tampa Bay last week. And that was their only close game. I mean, literally their only close game on their last 5. Their other wins are a 20-12 win over the Cardinals and a 31-27 win over the Atlanta Falcons at home. So they're just not, outside of that Carolina game, they've just not been a very good team this year. You know, and that's what I said, injuries, huge, huge issue. And not even injuries in the sense of like guys they're missing. The Matt Stafford injury cannot be understated. It just can't. They're 29th in scoring in the NFL.
Yikes.
Like, they're averaging 16 points a game. I can't explain how bad that is. Like, there's only 3 other teams that score less than the Los Angeles Rams. And when you think about the Los Angeles Rams, you think about a high-flying offense and a really good defense. Their defense is middle of the road, 21.6 points per game. To compare, last year, they averaged over 27 points per game. They were 7th in the NFL. Their defense was about the same, 15th. So, like, the defense hasn't gotten significantly worse, but the offense is awful. And like I said, it stems from what I believe is a serious injury to Matthew Stafford that's affecting his play, and then it's affecting the entire team because you don't respect the run game, you don't have that good of an offensive line, and all of a sudden you can just pin your ears back and go get Stafford and try and win games that way. This is just a team that's completely different than what they were last year. They don't do things extremely well. Like we said, they don't throw the ball well. They don't protect Stafford very well.
The running game has not been there. Literally, yeah, Cooper Kupp is the offense.
Yeah, it's literally Cooper Kupp, like you said. Like, it's just it's super, super bad. And I just, you know, this is a game that the Cardinals should have a chance to play well in. I mean, you look at it like, so they're 8 games into the year. They have 16 sacks as a team. They've given up 28. They have literally the best defensive player on earth in Aaron Donald. And even he is not enough right now to overcome everything. Kyler Murray, who's played behind, you know, we talked about it earlier, just a makeshift offensive line with three interior guys that probably shouldn't even be on rosters, or at least that high up the depth chart on rosters. He's only been sacked 24 times. And I get that Murray's a lot more athletic and a lot more, you know, has a lot more escapability. But like, when you just look at this Rams team, they're just not the same team. And so it's going to be an interesting game because
that said, do we think the Cardinals are going to win this game?
It's hard. It's really hard to see them winning a game with what they're going to start on the interior of the offensive line.
Like Aaron Donald is going to wreck this game unless they figure something out. And they've got to be able to run the ball. I think that's the only solution they have is to be able to establish the run early to then protect that offensive line from otherwise Kyler. It's going to look like a lot of other Rams games. It'll make the Rams look good if they don't get the run game going. And then
and that's what the problem is. You look at it, the Rams, even though they can't run the ball, they don't allow other teams to run the ball either. And that's, you know, they're still fourth in the NFL in rushing yards allowed per game. Now they're 31st in rushing yards per game, which is staggering. They average less than 70 yards a game on the ground.
Wow. Like,
is that not a baffling number? 68
that's so yards. Bad.
68 yards per game, man. Like, it's crazy how bad it is.
But then, I mean, you still, it's not like you go into this game, you're like, yeah, the Cardinals, but you're like, the Rams are bad, but
are the Cardinals worse?
right. And in a game when they had every reason to come out and execute well against the Seahawks at home, they didn't do it.
No, and they have
it gives you no confidence.
And that's what at the end of the day, that's what the concern is, right? Like you said, it gives you zero confidence. They haven't shown an ability to come out and play well. And so why would you expect them to do so against a team that they've historically struggled to beat?
Right. Right. And so now what do I anticipate for this? I think it's gonna be an ugly game. I think this game will not be aesthetically pleasing to watch because of the mess up front for both teams. And from Aaron Donald on one side to Zach Allen, J.J. Watt on the other, I think it's going to be a mess on both sides. And do you see this game? Do you see either team getting into the 20s?
I don't know, man. That's going to be fun to watch them try. I don't know if they can.
I think whoever gets to 20 points will win this game.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I just don't see any way that you're able to feel comfortable about picking them to win this game. So like you said, I think you end up going with a game where you look at it as like a 19 to 17 type of game.
And I think it'll really be 20-17 game. And I think I predicted the Cardinals to win this last week. Based on it, not because of the way they were playing, not because of the way Seattle playing, because it was one of those weeks where it was due to happen where the Cardinals showed up and played like their backs were against the wall. And it looked that way early and then it sort of fell apart. So I want to predict the same thing, but at this point, I don't know. I think maybe what I need to do is just predict the Rams win 20-17, and then the Cardinals will blow them out. Right? Is that supposed to work then? Since I pick it wrong, so yeah. Now I'm going to go the other way so that I'm wrong, but at least it'll be wrong for a good reason.
Right, and you just have to hope that it turns out that way. And it's just like you said, they haven't done it all season. It's irritating to watch. You know, we'll see how it comes out. But so far, man, it's just this is a team that you haven't been able to really get a grip on or get a hold of what they're going to do.
Right. And with that, we will end this edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web, episode 380. And we'll be back again next week talking about a team as we'll be getting ready for the Cardinals to play in Mexico. That's Seth Cox. I'm Just Root. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.